I've just heard the news that Her Majesty the Queen Elizabeth II, has died. She was in Balmoral, and she died this afternoon, Thursday. And it is quite amazing because I've lived with this queen all my life. It's the only queen I've known. And when I was a little boy, I remember her coronation, and I remember the street party we had. She's always been in the background. We've gone through tremendous changes in this country. And somehow she's been like the sort of the benign granny, the very wise one in the background, who's always kept this country centered. She's got tremendous wit. She's worked really hard. In fact, she worked right up to her death. Just what the day earlier, sort of seeing in the new Prime Minister Liz Truss and saying, waving goodbye to Boris Johnson. So she wasn't well then, but she did it. She called it duty. And so, what can you say? Thank you, ma'am, for everything you did. Don't think we really deserved you because you worked so hard all those years. And so we say, well, it's the end of the Elizabethan age that has now come to a close, and we now welcome a new king and his queen consort. So the new king is going to be King Charles III. So, welcome back. It's been what, a full year since Her Majesty the Queen died, and it's been a full year since I've added anything to this podcast. This is Julian Bray, and welcome. If you've read the previous episodes, if you listened to the previous episodes, that's fine by me. If you haven't, well, let me tell you a little about what I'm all about. I'm a journalist, broadcaster, and I mainly specialise in aviation operations and everything to do with the travel industry. Now, the last few days we've had an amazing breakdown in air traffic control. And basically what happened was that NATS, which is the privatised air traffic service, had a problem with their computer, and it was the flight planning computer, the computer that spits out all those flight plans for pilots. Without a flight plan, you cannot move your aircraft, and that seems to have gone down. But what happened was that it went down at 8 o'clock in the morning, and they then tried to fix it. They didn't tell anybody. But they knew they had 4 hours' worth of data already logged on the computer. So they thought that, well, we've got 4 hours to fix it, and then if we fix it within the 4 hours, we can just carry on, and nobody will be none the wiser. And of course, what happened was that the 4 hours are up, and they suddenly realised, well, the game is up. We're going to have to tell everybody exactly what's happened. But they didn't. They kept the airlines in the dark. They kept everybody in the dark. All they would say is there's a slight problem with the computer and we'll have it fixed soon. But it wasn't fixed soon. It took quite a while before it actually came good again. By that time, you had aircraft sitting at airports loaded with passengers that couldn't move. You had other aircraft coming into the UK and they couldn't land, so they diverted to other countries, and you had a lot of cancellations. Now, this is the busiest weekend of the year, a bank holiday weekend. So, everything that could fly was basically up in the air, leased, or there was no spare capacity, that's what I'm trying to say, at all. So what happened? Well, nothing. The government sat on its hands because they'd sold off the air traffic control system a good few years back. It's a private company, let them get on with it. And the frustration, you could hear the people on the television and on social media saying that we're stuck in a foreign land, we're stuck at the airport, we can't go back to our hotel, we're running out of money. And what was the response? Well, we might get you an aircraft, I might get you a flight in, say, about 4 or 5 days' time. And that was happening. Now, these are British subjects. They're away on their holidays. They've had a lovely holiday. They've spent all their money. They're coming back to the UK. And suddenly they find they've got another 4 to 5 days. And it's something I hadn't banked on. Now, obviously, aircraft have to be safe before they're moved. And without the flight plan and it all properly coordinated into the system, then safety is paramount, so it's not going to happen. But it's the arrogance of Nats by not telling the airlines that we have taken them into their confidence, that we have a big problem with this. Please prepare statements. Please organise your resources. And also government. Saying, right, well, what can we do to help? We'll get all our embassies on standby. We'll get them all down to the airport. No, none of that happened. They just relied on the holiday reps to deal with their customers, and that was it. It is as though the British government didn't care. Eventually, EasyJet put on repatriation flights. Other airlines put on larger aircraft. And British Airways said, well, if you're flying in business class, we have an empty seat policy. Well, we'll lift that for a while. We'll fill all the seats and we'll get people back home or wherever they want to be. So that's basically what happens. And by the end of the week, most people were back home. There's still a few people who were disadvantaged. And some people had given up completely. And they took to ferries, trains, anyway to try and get back home. So that has been a pretty unusual week. And really, what can I say? I feel for all these people. But what I do not understand is there is a Minister for Aviation, Harper. What a disaster he is. He goes on television and says, oh, it'll all be sorted in a few days' time, knowing full well that it won't be. They've just washed their hands of it. What is the matter with this government? So I'll leave you with that thought. It's a full year since Her Majesty died, and it's a terrible way to mark this first anniversary. But really, if she was back with us, I think she would have had Sunak in to Buckingham Palace and given him a piece of her mind, which he's prone to do. Charles, by the way, is very laid back and he doesn't seem to do this sort of thing at all. He's quite happy out on the moors, one of his many houses. And he's even said tonight that he's not going to be living in Buckingham Palace because it's not suited for his style. And so he will probably make Windsor or one of the other royal residences his main base. So that is an interesting situation. But as I say, I don't know when I'll do the next podcast. I probably won't leave it a year, but the point is, if you've been listening, thank you very much. And my name is Julian Bray. and thank you anyway.